Kathleen, give us an overview of Science Was Wrong.
Well, Science Was Wrong is a book that Stan and I wrote about startling truths about cures, theories, and inventions that they declared impossible. And they is, in many cases, the scientific establishment. And what we do is we explore the reasons for this in 14 chapters. We each wrote 7 chapters. And the book is divided into a number of different sections, 5 different sections. Stan wrote about aerospace, technology. I wrote 3 chapters on medicine. We both wrote about politics. I wrote 2 chapters there, and he wrote 1, global warming, man or nature. And then we have a last section called The Frontiers of Science, in which I explored psi phenomena and the conundrum of alien abduction, and Stan wrote about UFOs. So we have a variety of topics on different issues, but in each case, something went wrong, and these subjects were debunked. They weren't accepted by the scientific establishment, often for political reasons or as a result of greed or egos, and sometimes religion even got in the way.
You both hold science in a high regard, so you're not poking at science, are you?
No, we're not at all.
No.
We are actually exploring the reasons why science sometimes fails. In the long run, in all of our chapters, there was a happy ending that these new very sound scientific discoveries were eventually accepted. But the unfortunate part is that the denial of this good scientific work by the scientific establishment held up progress. And in some cases, hundreds, if not thousands, of people died as a result.
Stan, let's bring up cold fusion at this point as an example. You've got your very tough views on cold fusion. How does science react to that?
Well, I haven't heard many things back from science about that one yet. I'm waiting. the fact of the matter is that, yes, it was badly handled when it was first put out by Pons and Fleischmann, a big public announcement instead of an article in a scientific journal. That automatically turned an awful lot of people off. It was not directly reproducible all the time. They had this remarkable claim that you could take, call it a magic bottle, that had heavy water, curium oxide, and palladium, a fairly dense, peculiar metal, and by running a current through this device, you'd get more energy out than you put in, with the implication being that nuclear fusion was going on inside the palladium, where the heavy water, the deuterium, heavy hydrogen, was locked in, so to speak. Palladium is a great thing for absorbing an enormous amount of hydrogen. And so the noise went out. Some people tried a quick reproduction. There wasn't a scientific article to refer to, unfortunately, and it got blasted from all directions. Now, fortunately, there were some people who found that, they did get an effect. There was some energy coming off there. Now, the kicker here was, the notion was that nuclear fusion, which is what goes on in the sun and all the stars, has to involve very high temperatures and pressures, and, you know, how could you have a little device sitting on your desk that produced energy from nuclear fusion? There weren't any high temperatures or anything like that. So it seemed intuitively to be obvious that this couldn't be real, despite the fact that the measurements in some cases indicated it was. So it went through ups and downs. These guys got hounded out. Pons and Fleischmann both got basically hounded out of their jobs. And fortunately, there were some people like the Navy, like the Electric Power Research Institute, like Toyota, who looked at this stuff and said, you know, why don't we look at this more carefully? And when they did, they began to get good results too. And so as time went on, the percentage of experiments in which there was a net production of energy grew and grew. But that didn't stop the nasty, noisy negativist, I can use the same phrase here as I do in the UFO world, from attacking. Remember, the basic rules for debunkers of anything are, don't bother me with the facts, my mind's made up, I've taken a stand and I'm not going to change, you know. And the second, of course, is what the public doesn't know, I'm not going to tell them. For example, if you have fusion reactions going on, even at these low temperatures, there ought to be neutrons produced. And the question is, are there or aren't there? Well, it turns out there have been several papers published saying, indeed, there aren't neutrons produced. And there's a whole bunch of these other things that went on that turned out to be, in spite of the noisy negatives, to be true. So I anticipate this is an area where we're going to hear a lot more. And people need to recall that it takes an enormous amount of time, money, effort to go from, you know, tabletop devices to major facilities. I shocked somebody the other day when I said the Manhattan Project to develop nuclear weapons cost $2 billion in 1942 money. And, you know, that's an enormous amount of money. So you can't say, oh, I got a good idea. Let's go down the basement. We'll build something, and next month we'll sell it. That's not how it works when you've got really new technology. And heavy water is expensive, and palladium is expensive, so you don't do experiments very easily. But some of the attacks were really stinko science, if I can coin a phrase. And I want other people to be looking at this. As a matter of fact, the SSE Journal has a whole issue in recent months devoted to low-energy nuclear reactions. That sounds much better than cold fusion.